gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday, and it's Basingstoke Community Radio. That means one thing. We've got Claire on the line, the garden editor. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you keeping?
I'm all right. Thank you. Have you had a good week?
It's been not so bad so far. So it's the end of October, which has felt like quite a long one, actually. But it's been fairly wet, hasn't it, the last couple of days? And frankly, last week, there's been a lot of water.
Absolutely. I mean, Sunday weekend just gone. It just bucketed down, didn't it? Sunday evening, overnight.
I'm spending a lot of my time drying out my boots overnight. And sometimes I'm having to get into soggy boots in the morning, which it's not my jam really. But and I hear we've got a storm coming as well. So I think it might not hit our part of the UK as badly as some other parts, which are still suffering from Storm Babette and other things. I'm wearing extra concrete in my boots, I think, by the end of the week.
Yeah, well, I hope you don't get it for bonfire night.
No, that would be nice. Have a nice clear sky. That's what you want for bonfire night. You a nice clear sky and low wind, so everyone can see all the displays. Are you going to go to a display?
Well, we're doing one. The radio station's doing it. We're not doing a display, but we're taking part in one over at Tadley for the Bishop Wood School firework display. So hopefully it's going to be nice so we won't get too wet.
Yeah.
That should be
fabulous.
Nice.
Fabulous. That will be good. So go along if you can. Yeah. That one sounds a really good
one
to go to. Yeah.
Right. Now, today, slightly different. We're going to spin it on his head today. We're going to do a bit of a Q&A, aren't we?
We are indeed. Well, we've had quite a lot of episodes where it's been, you know, seasonal particular things to do. But I don't know about you, but I do know that sometimes people find there's something bugging them about their garden. They don't quite know when or how to ask the question, or it might not fit into neat categories. So we thought we'd throw it open to our listeners and our audience and followers. And my word, have they come up trumps? I think we've got 5 questions to kind of go through, but there are a variety of problems. So I thought we would try that, and if it's popular again, we can do it another time of the year as well.
Absolutely, why not? Why not? Because people might be listening and thought, oh, I should have put a question in, but they might get to hear an answer to their question that someone else might have put in, mightn't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'll make sure we put out the links as well so people can listen back if they want
absolutely.
To and think, what was that thing rabbiting on about? And there will be a bit of Latin possibly, I think, in this.
Oh, that's a bit posh, isn't it? So, bit of Latin on a Tuesday morning.
I know. Have another slurp of coffee.
All right then, okay, let's go on then. What's the first question that's come in?
So the first question we have is one from Kate, and Kate is asking about lavender, and she is asking, should I cut my lavender right back? Wow. It's all looking a bit sad and woody, and I really want it to be a big healthy plant ready for the bees next year.
All right. Well, before you answer that, Kate, you should have listened to a few weeks ago when we were talking about lavender, wasn't we?
Well, 10 million, so, million brownie points.
Naughty Kate, but doesn't matter. I'm sure Claire's going to give you the right answer now.
No, absolutely. So, Kate, if you're interested and super interested, there's a whole episode about lavender and how to look after them. So there might be 2 things going on with your lavender. Firstly, they are not the longest lived plants. So if it's looking really woody and kind of old and shrubby and very, very large, it could just be very old. After about 7 years, they will probably need replacing anyway. So that is thing one. You might just have a very old legacy lavender to deal with. Secondly, we would normally recommend, as excellently pointed out by Dave, pruning lavender in the end of August and beginning of September. And that's because that removes all the flower stalks and lots of the growth to make it stop it having this kind of woody bald centre bit in it. And the reason we say do it at that time of year is it's got a bit of time to put on a little bit more growth to protect it over winter. We're now at the end of October, so if you cut it in that way now, the risk is it won't put on any new growth where you cut it, and it will just be quite wet and sad over the winter. And that might cause problems in terms of it rotting or getting infected from the tops of the cuttings that you've taken. So my suggestion this year, Kate, would be to leave it completely as is. Leave it until spring. And then in spring, go down and see if you can find the last bit of the flowering stalks before it turns completely woody and cut it from there. And I would be doing that in spring, and I'd probably try that in kind of mid-April and see if that works. If not, then you'll have the normal pruning to do late August and early September. And it could be that the plant is just very, very old and needs replacing. But I think that's going to give you your best chance of getting it nice and flowering for the bees this coming summer without introducing the risk of rotting it off this winter.
That's a good answer there, Kate. Well done. 10 points for you. Top marks for that.
Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully, Kate, that answered your question. But if you do want to, if you do go to the website, you can download. I think the lavender one is still there, I think. You can still download that.
Yeah, the lavender one's still there. Yeah, you can definitely download it. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. You can save them and you can have them on your walks or whatever.
That's right.
Lovely. So lovely. So let's carry on with the summer theme for a bit, shall we?
Yeah.
Someone's asked a question about wisteria, which are really tall climbing plants with really long, it's a very posh word called racemes, really long droopy flower spikes, which kind of drip off these climbers in a variety of blues and whites. And quite often they're quite famous. You can go through these wisteria walks, and if you go around big posh houses, they quite often have a wisteria climbing up them. And we have a question in from Melanie, and Melanie says, why does my wisteria only flower for a maximum of 2 weeks in the summer? I see others going strong all summer. So Mel's got a wisteria problem. And wisteria kind of plants, there are lots of different types of wisteria is the first thing to say. So there's different types of wisteria depending on whether they twine clockwise or anti-clockwise. So you can get ones from Japan, you can get ones from China, you can get ones from North America. So the first thing to say, well, it might be that your wisteria is just a shorter flowering cultivar than other ones that you are seeing around. So the longest flowering ones from my research are the Wisteria chinensis from China, which are likely to give you the longest period of flower. Having said that, for all cultivars of wisteria, there are a couple of things we can do to ensure that they flower at their best, regardless of how long genetically they're programmed to last. So the first thing is, from the period of July till September, it's really important to water them well. Not for flowering that year, but for flowering the following year, because that is when the flower buds for next year are already forming. So if there's been a big drought like there was last year in that July to September period, that might have meant that your wisteria flowered less this year, if that makes sense. So if we get another hot, dry summer, it's worth chucking your old washing up liquid water or whatever it is at the base of your wisteria during that July to September period to make sure it's well watered. And similarly, I don't know if Melanie, if you've fed your wisteria, but they are really hungry plants. They really like quite a bit of food. And flowering is a very energy intensive process for plants. It's the thing which costs them the most. So if you're wanting to encourage flowers, what you'll want to do is encourage use food which has lots of potassium in it. And typically these are things which are found in tomato food. So if you've got any tomato right lying around and you grow tomatoes, put a bit on your wisteria. Always follow the instructions. Never give it a bit more than you think than is recommended, because it actually never works. Sometimes it can do more harm than good. But anything with high potassium feed, like seaweed, tomato right, or grow more, are good ways of encouraging flowers. So water well, choose the right cultivar, give it a feed. And then the final thing with wisteria is pruning. And there's two lots of pruning to do. But I think what we'll do is leave that for another episode, and we'll do a special one on wisteria, because the pruning is a little bit complicated. But I don't know if Melanie has been doing any pruning, but that might also have inhibited some of the flowering going on there.
It's quite complicated, this gardening lark, isn't it?
Well, wisteria are probably one of the most complicated. Yeah. Well, it is a lot, which is why we try and do the episodes like thematically about what to do this week or this month. But I looked back and I realised we've not done one on wisteria. I mean, obviously, we not every house has got space for one. But if there's appetite to do it, I think we should definitely do one on that.
Okay, all right.
There'll be some pruning to come up for that one.
Hopefully, that answered your question there.
Yeah, let's hope so. Great. And then we have some questions about from someone called Laura, who is asking about rockery plants. So rockery plants are plants which we normally have, unsurprisingly, in a rockery or in an alpine garden setting. But Laura's question is very interesting. She says, I have a very shady rockery that looks like a sad mess. I'd love some ideas of some rockery sort of plants that just don't turn into a wild spread of foliage, but look pretty. Is that even a thing? Which is such a good question, Laura, partly because most alpine gardens and most rockery gardens are in full sun. So alpine plants are plants which grow naturally high up on mountains where they get lots of very bright direct sunlight for at least 6 hours of the day. A lot of the rockery sort of plants you tend to get do tend to like full sun, and so having a shady rockery is kind of like throwing all of that on its head and turning it upside down. So I've had a bit of a think for you, Laura. I've come up with a couple of suggestions. I had to write them down because they're a bit complicated, and it sounds like what you want is things which aren't going to just flop all over the place, but they look pretty, but they might have to have some foliage. So the first thing I would say is good ideas for shady spaces are things like epimediums, which cope really well with dry conditions. They've got heart-shaped leaves, and then in spring, summer, they have really cute little delicate flowers, white and pink, which peep out over the foliage. They look really, really sweet. They're not big. They're not huge, they're not blousy, but they kind of stay in their place and they pop up these little cute little flowers. They do have foliage for the rest of the year, but you do cut it down in the winter to make sure that when the new growth comes, all you see first is the flowers rather than the foliage. So that's one suggestion. The other suggestion for something which is very good at flowering in those conditions are some of the hardy geraniums. Geranium macrorhizum are the geraniums which naturally flower a lot in those circumstances, and you can get them in whites, in pinks and purples. So geranium macrorhizum are a good way to look at nice easy care plants which will do well there. And then I know it sounded like Laura's question, she wasn't really up for much foliage, but I was going to just whack out a couple of very foliagey cool plants because they are really architecturally stunning. And some of the euphorbias, which are kind of a spurge type, have bright green, vivid, really pointy leaves. Some of them look really like geodesic spirals and things like that, and they can cope with those type of situations as well. They don't grow very high, they don't mind really dry weather as well, but those are the things that I thought are worth exploring, Laura. So epimediums, euphorbias and geraniums, and otherwise good luck. A shady rockery is a brand new one on me.
Well, have you swallowed a dictionary today? Because you're coming out with some really long words I've never heard before.
I know. Well, I want to be helpful to people, and it's hard because sometimes if we just use common names, it sounds easier. But what happens is common names might refer to lots of different plants.
Oh, okay.
Whereas right. The Latin name always is only one plant with that name. Right. So it's kind of like a secret code. So I do apologise for the Latin. Okay. I think maybe that was the worst of it.
Yeah.
Over it.
Okay.
So poor Laura is going to have to suffer a bit of that.
Yeah. Well, hope you get that answered, Laura, when you go into B&Q or another garden centre and ask for those plants in Latin. Hope you'll be able to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's the next one? Go on. Sorry.
What was you going to say? We've got two more questions to go, and they are both from someone called Joe, who has given us two questions. So I thought, well, two for the price of one. I think we should answer both of Joe's questions if you can, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so the first one, it's another shade question. And I think part of the reason is shade can be quite difficult, or people feel, oh, I can't grow anything in shady parts of my garden. It's really hard to think of interesting things because a lot of our big flowery plants want full sun. So Joe is asking a question about climbers. I've got a really shady wall, she says, and I would like to grow things up it. Evergreen, preferably with pretty flowers. So, bit of a conundrum, shady, climby, evergreen, and with pretty flowers. But I think I've got the answer for you, Joe.
You do like a challenge, don't you? It's like, it's like challenge Claire, isn't it? Not challenge Annika, challenge Claire.
No, absolutely. It's kind of delving into the, like, the
sorry for
corners.
Batting in there, sorry. Go on, carry on.
Not at all. So, okay, right, brace yourselves. I think this might be the worst and last bit of the Latin coming up here. So, what grows up really well in a shady wall for a climber is a hydrangea. There is a climbing hydrangea, which is really good because it climbs by itself. That means you don't have to invest in wires and twine and tie it in and things like that. It will climb up your wall itself because of the kind of the sticky pads on it, on its leaves and its stems. And the one which is evergreen and has really pretty white flowers is called Hydrangea anomala semianii.
It gets worse, doesn't it?
Absolute mouthful. So I'm going to repeat that again. Hydrangea anomala semianii. And what that means is basically it's a hydrangea. It's an anomalous type of a hydrangea because it's a climbing one. And semianii is just the name of the guy who found it. They're really lovely. The one thing I would say is climbing hydrangeas are slow to start. They only really get their rocket on in years 2 and 3. So if you do grow, if you do plant one, it's not an instant solution. So again, because Jo asked two questions, I thought, well, I'll give her an extra plant just in case. So the other one I would give her is a pyracantha, which are evergreen with really glossy green leaves. And in this time of year, in autumn, they have bright red and orange berries. So they're a really nice contrast to kind of the rest of the year. So pyracantha sapphire orange would be my alternative if you wanted something a bit faster growing, but you would need to tie it in and you would need to put up wires for them.
Right, okay. So I'm just writing them down. How'd you spell them? No, I'm joking.
I spell them all badly, I think it's fair to say.
Well, as long as you can read it, that's all that matters, isn't it, really? As the way you've been able to read it. Have you got another question from Joe?
Yeah, I do. Have we got time?
We can squeeze that one in, yeah, go.
Lovely. Okay, this is about roses. So we love it. We love a rose question. Do you remember back in spring we did stuff about roses and how to prune them? Joe has got a really important rose to her. It was from her parents' house after they passed away. And she's not quite sure. It might be a rambling rose or a bush rose. And that she brought it from into her house after her parents passed away. It's actually living in an old chimney pot by the sounds of things, which sounds really interesting. And this rose isn't very happy in this chimney pot. So she's asking, can I plant it somewhere and keep it really pruned back? I don't have anywhere in the ground where I really want a rambling rose. Would it work if I just kept it pruned back and we can both be happy? So first things to say is roses are hungry plants. They love lots of space and they love lots of food, a bit like a teenager in a bedroom with snacks. So they do need a bit of space. So I suspect that chimney pot is very narrow and the roots are probably feeling a bit constricted. And that's like giving a teenager a bit too much of a hard boundary. So probably that's why it's not doing so well. If you don't want to put this plant in the ground, I would suggest seeing if you can find a wider container for it. So something with a wider diameter than the chimney pot and putting it in there with plenty of manure. And that will help it grow and help it do its best. But if it is a rambling rose, they tend to kind of like ramble and scramble. If you don't have a wall or a pergola, you can just have an obelisk or like a willow, couple of spires in your container, and you can put that over the rose and the rose will clamber and scramble up through that. And that means you can keep it in one place rather than it going everywhere. If you put it in the ground and prune it back, what will happen? The more you prune it, the more it will try and grow. So you will end up in a bit of a battle where what you will end up is increasing amounts of green shoots probably very few flowers, but a constant position of it not being happy and you not being happy. So I'd opt, if you can, find a slightly wider container, plop it in that, put a pergola or an obelisk or something to train up it, and see how you go that way.
There you go.
Do you know,
every time you're saying all these long words, I'm sitting here shaking my head saying, I ain't got a clue what she's talking about.
Oh, dear. Well, if it is...
You was on about a percolator, weren't you? We've got a coffee percolator.
I was meaning a percolator. Sometimes I get words wrong. I don't know if it's the stage of my life I'm at or whatever. But pergolas and things like that. They're basically things to grow stuff up. You know, you kind of get those tall wooden or metal, those kind of like, almost like stakes.
Yeah.
You put them in and things can grow up. And it's a quite a nice, easy way of controlling things like roses or climbers or stuff like that. But listen, if it is too much info, people are welcome to get in touch with me, particularly if there are things they're not sure about spelling or where to go. And I'm really happy to help people with their plant conundrums. It was interesting to see the variety that we had just in one quick dip test. So we'll see if there are any more.
Absolutely.
If people want them in the future.
I quite enjoyed that Q&A session. That was all right. That was quite nice there. It's a bit different, wasn't it?
Was that because I didn't ask you any questions?
Yeah, that's about right. I like the idea of that plant with sticky stems and sticky leaves in there. That's all right. I quite like the idea of that.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Yeah, well, the other one I almost thought about was hops, where you can make beer from, which is great at a really quick climber, but it actually likes a fair bit of sun. So I thought that wouldn't work. But yeah, that'd be great if you want to brew your own beer.
No. Far too much hard work. Right, so you're not back next week, but back the week after, aren't you?
Yep, absolutely. So I'll hear all about how fireworks night went.
Yes, you will, And hopefully it all go well. One more last thing to do today, as normal. First of all, thanks for joining me today, like always. It's always good fun. What's your song for today?
Oh, well, my song for today, I'll read out the lyric first of all, and then I will probably explain while I choose
it. Or maybe we could guess the lyric. Guess the lyric. See if anyone can guess the song.
Yeah.
Because if you do the lyric now and don't say the song, then what we'll do, we'll play the ads, and then we'll put the song on afterwards.
Yeah.
Go on. So you need to listen carefully now, because this is the lyrics to the song. And if you want to email in or text in, you're more than welcome. If you think you know the answer. All right. Over to you then, Claire. You've got to sing the lyrics, though.
No, I'm absolutely not doing that.
Okay, all right. Just talk then. Okay, that's fine.
So I'll read out the pre-chorus thing.
Okay.
And so sometimes when I'm lying in my bed, just to get it all out, what's in my head, I'm feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on?
Perfect. That's good. I know what it is, but then I would do, because I've got it right in front of me here. But that's good. So if you think you know what the answer is to that song, we'll be playing it after the ads. I've got to say thanks very much for joining me today, Claire.
You're welcome as ever, and I hope that we don't have any people now screaming from the answers, what's going on?
No, I'm sure they won't. But we'll play that after the ads, just coming up right about now. Is that all right?
Absolutely. Lovely to speak to you as ever.
And
Dave, it's always a pleasure.
All right. I'll speak to you in 2 weeks. All right.
Take care.
Right, and bye-bye. So we're going to play that song for you right after the ads. But if you think you know what it is, then time to get in touch.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.